The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
We will talk to Jamie O'Hara, our Southern reporter, who of course has been covering over the last few weeks the trial of Richard Satchwell. Richard Satchwell today found guilty of the murder of his wife, Tina. Jamie, let's start with today. Can you talk us through what happened?
Kieran, good afternoon. Yes, so Richard Satchwell sat with his hand under his chin. He was rubbing his jaw with his thumb after the jury minder handed a note to the court clerk to say that the jury had reached a verdict. The clerk asked the foreman of the jury if they had reached a verdict on which they were all agreed. He said they had, and the verdict of guilty of murder was read out. Richard Satchwell did not give any reaction when the verdict was read out. He sat there in the same pose. Then, Kieran, the sound of crying could be heard at the back of the court as Mr. Justice Paul McDermott, he thanked the jury and he set a sentencing date for the 4th of June, which is next Wednesday, and that's a mandatory life sentence. Today was the end of the fifth week of the trial at the Central Criminal Court here in Dublin, and the jury came to their unanimous decision at around 12:25 this afternoon. Now, Tina's half-sister Lorraine Howard and her cousin, and Tina's cousin Sarah Howard, they spoke to the media following the trial, and I believe we can hear what Sarah Howard had to say following the verdict.
During this trial, Tina was portrayed in a way that is not true to who she was. Tina was our precious sister, cousin, auntie and daughter. Her presence in our life meant so much to us all. We as a family can never put into words the impact of her loss that has had on all of us. Tina was a kind, loving, gentle soul who loved her animals like they loved her, and that's the way we want her remembered. Today as a family, we finally have justice for Tina. In this time, our family would like to ask for privacy to begin our healing. Thank you.
So that was Tina's half-sister Lorraine and her cousin Sarah speaking to the media. Jamie, can you just remind people the background to this?
Yeah, Kieran. So very briefly, Tina Satchwell was reported missing from her home in Youghal in County Cork on the 24th of March 2017 by her husband. The 46-year-old was born Tina Dingevin and she was raised in Fermoy in North Cork by her grandmother. Now, if we skip forward, a huge search operation was launched. Hundreds of lines of inquiry were followed up on over the 6.5 years before her body was eventually discovered, dressed in a bathrobe and pyjamas and wrapped in black plastic, face down in a clandestine grave, which was dug under the stairs of her home. And she was found in October 2023.
Remind us then, after she disappeared, what Richard Satchwell said about the reported disappearance to the media.
Richard Satchwell took part in numerous media interviews, Kieran, over the years since he reported Tina missing. You had radio, newspapers, television, online outlets. He told a consistent story that on the 20th of March 2017, his wife had asked him to go to Dungarvan, County Waterford, to pick up some shopping and bird food for their parrot. Then in his story, he returns, Tina is gone, so are two suitcases, and also is gone €26,000 in cash savings from a tin box in the attic. He said the couple were saving for central heating for the house on Grattan Street in Youghal. And he said at the time it was his opinion Tina knew she was depressed, that she'd gone away to sort herself out. He said he had done the same once, but that they had stayed in touch and she knew where he was, which at the time was England. And then when asked if someone could have caused her harm, he replied that, you know, Tina wasn't a pushover and that she would whack or hit them back. On the 24th of March 2017, Richard Satchwell drove to Fermoy in North Cork to visit his GP, then two of Tina's family members, to each of their houses to ask if they had seen Tina. He then went to Fermoy Garda Station to tell them Tina was missing, but he didn't file a formal missing person report until the 11th of May, which then allowed Gardaí, who were the ones to urge him to do it, to put the wheels in motion.
Then to the first search at the Satchwell house and a new conclusion from Gardaí.
Yeah, so a non-invasive search of the house was carried out on the 7th of June 2023. That was under a warrant on suspicion of assault causing harm, and devices were seized. Now, no blood was detected in the house, the court heard, and then the devices were examined. Superintendent Anne-Marie Toomey was appointed senior investigating officer in August 2021. And along with Detective Garda David Kelleher from Cove Garda Station, they began familiarising themselves with the case. And then Superintendent Toomey identified new lines of inquiry and eventually came, Kieran, to the conclusion that Tina had met her death by unlawful means and was not a living person. And then this culminated in the invasive search of the house in October 2023. And ultimately, the discovery of the body of Tina. And then Richard Satchwell appeared at Cashel District Court in County Tipperary on Saturday, the 14th of October, charged with murder. Then, if we skip forward, the trial opened on the 28th of April last, following the arraignment of Richard Satchwell, who entered a not guilty plea to the single charge of murder. The prosecution case was presented over 3.5 weeks, and the jury heard from 56 witnesses. It's worth noting the jury did not hear evidence every day during that period, and the defence case heard from one witness. The jury also heard from assistant state pathologist Dr. Margaret Bolster, who said no cause of death could be determined because of the post-mortem interval, basically, that Tina Satchwell had been dead for so long.
Can you describe Richard Satchwell's, you know, demeanour during the trial?
Yeah, Kieran, he mainly kept his head down. He didn't look around the court much, certainly not looking much towards the body of the court, the main body of the court, where we'd say the press and the members of the public were sitting. He sat in the box, which is to the left-hand side of Court 6. That's on the first floor of the Criminal Courts of Justice. And just for anyone who doesn't know where it is, it's more or less directly across the river from Houston Station and beside the gates of Phoenix Park. And there's a little bench in front of where the accused sits, and he often put an elbow on that and then would look down during the proceedings. And I had initially thought that there was, you know, a screen that he was looking down at when videos were being played to the jury, but there wasn't. He was just looking down. He never spoke during the trial apart from entering the not guilty plea at the arraignment. Kieran, he wasn't called to give evidence, and he generally sat quite still. He wasn't a fidgeter. He isn't a fidgeter, and he was always freshly shaved. He kept his hair extremely short, basically, a buzz cut.
Was there much interest in the public? Was there a big public gallery there?
Significant interest in the trial, pretty much from day one, Kieran. The media sits behind the barristers, and there's a bench in front of that for laptops and notes. And there was a large media presence in court every single day. And then behind us was where the public sat, and the court did get full at times. You know, people would come in, they would stand at the back. What looked sometimes like secondary school students would be brought in for a bit before being collected again, essentially a bit of a tour of the court. Then there was a few people who came up every day. Some were from Dublin while the evidence was being heard, and some actually travelled from Cork on the 7 a.m. train, and they were telling me that they were going home again on the 5 p.m. train, and those people were in court today as well for the verdict.
So let's talk then about the beginning of the trial.
Yeah, if we go back, the trial began with an overview of the expected evidence by senior counsel Geraldine Small for the prosecution. And Kieran, without repeating everything said, this was the first time that the public heard Richard Satchwell's account of being attacked by his wife with a chisel on that morning, the 20th of March 2017. And he told detectives this story specifically following the discovery of Tina Satchwell's skeletal and partly mummified remains, which, as I've said, were face down. They were wrapped in black plastic in a grave, you know, dug into the soft soil of the area under the stairs of her home on Grattan Street. That was in October 2023 when she was found. And the jury saw a video of this interview the day the invasive search of the house started. And the account he gave at the time was the same one he had told for the previous 6.5 years. Tina had asked him to go to Dungarvan. He returned. Tina was gone, and so was 26,000 euro in cash savings. And then Richard Satchwell's story changed following the discovery of Tina's body, which was pretty much the next day. He said his wife had flew at him with a chisel, which ended with Richard Satchwell on his back, his wife on top of him, and then the use of a dressing gown belt held at neck level to hold his wife off and to stop her from stabbing him in the head. And that's according to Richard Satchwell's account, and then that Tina had died as he tried to defend himself. Detective Garda Aidan Dardis of Youghal Garda Station gave evidence that he took a statement from Richard Satchwell where he also claimed that Tina had violent outbursts, and he said in the statement that she would slap him once a week hit him and draw blood. In another statement, that she had knocked him unconscious twice. And Richard Satchwell also said Tina had knocked his glasses off on the way home from Carrigtwohill car boot sale on the 19th of March 2017, which was the last time she was seen in public. And also that she had knocked out teeth during one alleged assault. He said she had left him with scrapes on his face, his back, and a black eye. And he also said she had threatened to leave him some 300 times.
The jury as well, or the trial, they heard about different appeals Richard Satchwell would have made following the reported disappearance. So this is post kind of May 2017 when he eventually made that report.
Yeah, so Richard Satchwell appeared on several media outlets in the wake of this reported disappearance, pleading for his wife to come home, saying his arms are open and he will get her a cup of tea and essentially he'll look after her. And he said that the dogs miss her. She absolutely loved her dogs. Hours of media interviews across radio, TV, online outlets was played for the jury. Richard Satchwell's story is consistent. He went to Dungarvan, he got back, Tina was gone, and so was the cash. And he said there were things he didn't want to make public about their relationship in some interviews. And he says someone had to have helped Tina to get away. That's what he said as well. And he said that person should be ashamed. And then he says no when asked straight out if he killed his wife.
Yeah, which obviously the jury today, we know, were not buying. And I know there was all this other stuff that you and I would have talked about kind of an attempt to adopt two monkeys and all of the different lengths he went to speak to different members of the family and sell different things and sell in the fridge freezer and everything. But can you skip ahead maybe to legal argument, Jamie, because this is the bits, I guess, that are not reported while the trial is ongoing. Was there much legal argument that happened behind closed doors?
There was, Kieran, and just as a quick explainer, legal argument is when the jury are sent out of the court and then an application can be made to the judge without the jury being there. Defence counsel Brendan Grehan asked for Richard Satchwell's reply after caution not to be presented to the jury. That reply was guilty or not guilty, guilty. And there was a few grounds, one of which was Mr. Satchwell's solicitor was not present. Mr. Grehan said the murder charge was not explained to Richard Satchwell. And also there was the phrasing guilty or not guilty, guilty. Mr. Grehan said it isn't clear what Richard Satchwell meant by the phrase. And Mr. Justice Paul McDermott rejected that application and the jury almost immediately heard the reply after caution. Second was an application by Mr. Grehan for the charge of murder to be withdrawn and for the trial to proceed on a manslaughter charge. Mr. Grehan said the cause of death could not be identified due to the long post-mortem interval, noting the lack of broken bones or prior fractures, that there was no hemorrhaging in the muscles present, which, you know, could have indicated some bruising. He said assistant state pathologist Dr. Margaret Bolster wasn't able to conclude anything about the state of the organs of Tina Satchwell, you know, due to time. Mr. Grehan said there is an explanation. This is what he said at the time. That there is an explanation available to the jury about how death was caused, and said it is the explanation given by Richard Satchwell when he was first interviewed following the discovery of the remains of Tina Satchwell, i.e. that Tina Satchwell had come at Richard Satchwell with a chisel and had died in the ensuing struggle. That application was rejected. And then the third and most recent application was when Mr. Grehan asked the judge to discharge the jury following the judge's charge. Now, the judge's charge consists of the law, possible verdicts, and then a review of some of the facts of the case before the jury start their deliberations. And Mr. Grehan submitted that the defence case was not put forward in full. He said the court seemed to go awry from very early on in its charge. Now, prosecution barrister Geraldine Small disagreed and said the application was a remedy of last resort and exceptional circumstances, which she said did not apply here. Ms. Small said the charge was balanced and fair and the defence case was put across to the jury. And the judge came back after considering matters, Judge Paul McDermott, and he refused the application and then he charged the jury on further matters. And just very briefly as well, it's not legal argument, but something that did happen one of the days was the taking photographs in the courtroom. Someone took 7 photographs of Richard Satchwell on their phone, sent them to their family WhatsApp group. This was spotted and brought to the attention of the judge when the jury left the court for the day. And the person was ordered to delete the photographs by a Garda and also to instruct the members of their family WhatsApp group to delete the photographs and to not share them. But Kieran, we will be returning to the Central Criminal Court Court in Dublin on Wednesday for a sentencing hearing where the family of Tina Satchwell, they'll also be able to deliver a victim impact statement before the mandatory sentence of life will be handed down to Richard Satchwell.
All right, Jamie O'Hara, our Southern correspondent who's been covering that case for us. Jamie, thank you very, very much.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.